Well, praise the Lord. I hope you had a good day. I did. I love the Montgomery Hilton where I'm staying. It's really nice. I've had a great day. Hallelujah. Are you connected tonight? We've got some young people here that want to do this, so we got to do it for them. Really, it's for me, though. So I love doing it. Remember, the wonderful privilege that we have when we walk with the Lord is we have the privilege of being connected to somebody that infinitely has everything we'll ever need. Isn't that awesome? I can't think of any better word than wow. Are you ready? Here we go. I'm connected. Wow. You got it down good. You do it good. I love this church. My goodness. I think I'll move to Indiana. Oh, my. I was praying today and asking God to help me to, the right message at the wrong time isn't even the right message. So I wanted the Lord to help me to know what He wanted me to share with you tonight. And I really earnestly sought the mind of the Lord. I am really, really focusing tonight on the young people. So the rest of you are welcome to listen in, or you can go ahead and leave, whatever you want to do. But I am really going to talk to the young people tonight. I have a list, and don't get nervous. I am not going to preach this list. I have a list of 50 ways that I found in Scripture to be successful in life. And I'm certainly not going to preach on all 50. In fact, I'm only going to preach on one of them tonight. So you can imagine how long it would take if I preached on all 50. Now I'm going to preach on one of the keys to being successful in life. And it's not isolated. It's all through Scripture. I'm going to give you several, but I haven't exhausted it. It's from cover to cover in the Bible. It's a wonderful principle. The title of my message tonight, are you ready? It's Listen to Papa. You've never heard a title of a sermon like that before, I'm sure. Listen to Papa. Proverbs chapter 6. In fact, I would urge all the young people to read the book of Proverbs on a regular basis. I read a chapter in Proverbs every day of my life. And it's kind of neat because there's 31 chapters, so every month I go through it again, and the next month I go through it again, the next month I go through it again, and I've been doing it for years. And I would urge you young people to study the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20 says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Man, that is just really good stuff. All right? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Verse 9, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." And by the way, I know we don't wear jewelry, but that's not referring to a chain of bondage. It's referring to legitimate glamour, okay, whatever that is. In other words, if you obey your parents, young people, there's a blessing that God said He would give you. That's what that's all about. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Proverbs 4:1. "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Now, if we're going to get wisdom, we have to choose where we're going to get it from. And if we're going to get wisdom, we have to want it. you don't usually achieve anything or get anything unless there's desire. You know, desire is the mother of invention. So desire will help you to actually to reach any goal. Desire is a powerful thing. But what's really important in the heart of my message tonight is that we desire the right things. And I'll show that to you more in Scripture here as we go along. Again, I'll be in Proverbs, and then we're going to get to a lesson in the Old Testament that you may have never noticed before. I don't know. I've never heard it preached from, but it's a tremendous story. But before we do, I want to give you a few more verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 13 verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 10 verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is the son that causeth shame. Proverbs 13, verse 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Proverbs 15, verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Proverbs 15, verse 20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son despiseth his mother. Proverbs 15, verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Now, what that means, without counsel, the things that we want to achieve, we don't achieve them. That's what that means. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 15, verse 31 and 32, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Proverbs 17, 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Proverbs 19, verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Proverbs 23, 22, hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Proverbs 23, verse 24 and 25, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Chapter 22, verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Proverbs 22, 28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Proverbs 28, 7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Proverbs 28, 24, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. Let me explain that verse to you. I'm reading these kind of rapidly, and if we're not careful, they just kind of, you know, whoosh, go by. I'll give you an illustration. A friend of mine, his wife passed away, and one of the children came to the house and started taking things that belonged to her mother. And she made the false assumption that because she was the daughter of the lady that passed away, that she had a right to those things. Let me tell you something, young people, and this doesn't have an awful lot to do with the sermon, but let me tell you, so that this won't ever happen to you, let me tell you a little secret. Those things do not belong to you. And now, this isn't shouting material. Nobody's going to get in the aisles and shout here on this one. Those things do not belong to you. If one of the parents pass away, all of the possessions belong to the parent that's still alive. And according to the scripture, if you take things, unless they're given to you, you're stealing. Okay? Now, Brother Faye, you didn't need to say that. Well, I think I did. And I'll tell you why I think I need to say it. Because it's actually maybe even especially in Christian circles. Because we want to be good to our kids. We love our children. And we all, you know, and it's something that everybody knows. The kids know, the parents love them. And you know, but, you know, we can become what I call presumptive and presume or assume. I'm enjoying watching your faces here tonight. Either you don't get it or I've got game up this tree. I'm not sure which it is there. Well, anyway, that's not my sermon, but that's a great verse. You ought to look at it maybe when you get home. Proverbs 29:3, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Proverbs 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother. Excuse me. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Boy, isn't that a wonderful promise? Hello? Anybody home? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Matthew 15:4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Now, if you want to follow along in the scripture tonight, we're going to look at a very interesting passage in Jeremiah chapter 35. But before we do, I'd like to ask God's special help. Lord Jesus, we've been worshiping you tonight. We've been worshiping you in song. And really good song. Songs that honored God. And now we want to worship you in truth, in the study of truth. And we want you to teach us, Lord. And I always need your help. And I need your help again tonight. May this time together prove to be a blessing to us. May it provide some light on our journey and make us all you want us to be. In the light of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 35, we have an incredible story of the Rechabites. I'm sure you've all read it because you've all read your Bible through many times. But, you know, possibly you just kind of read through this and didn't get the full impact of what's being taught in Jeremiah chapter 35. Allow me the privilege of reading it to you. Maybe you'd like to follow along. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. And I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the sons of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chambers of Maaseiah, the son of Shalem, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, listen carefully to what they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Notice verse 7. Now, probably verse 6, we all get that. You know, I think we would all agree that's pretty okay. All right? Now, this next one, and I'll explain it, so don't get nervous, okay? Hang on there. Are you all with me tonight? Here we go. Verse 7. Neither shall ye build house. Okay, don't get, like I said, please don't get nervous. I'm not going to tell you it's a sin to build a house. In fact, that's not what this scripture is teaching. But it is teaching a very important principle. All right. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed. Okay? Everybody all right? They couldn't even have a garden. Nor plant vineyard. Nor have any. They couldn't even buy one. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Now here's what they reported in verse 8. They said, thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. I think I need to tell you where I'm going here. Okay, I'm not done even reading this. But I want you to know where I'm going, because I want you to think about it while we go there. Think about this next statement, please. Obedience is a very powerful thing. Amen. It really is. And I want to say it again, because I want it to just kind of imprint our hearts. Obedience is a very powerful thing. It's not just a nice thing. It's a powerful thing. You know, if you've got any substance to you at all, you want to amount to something. Okay, I think. Yeah, if you've got any character at all, you want your life to be fruitful, you want to amount to something, you want to be productive, you want your life to be, can I use the term, successful? Well, young people, I promise you, on the authority of God's word, obedience is a very powerful thing. Now, let me continue here. Okay, I think we finished verse 10, didn't we? Verse 11. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction? You remember I read in Proverbs several places where it talked about the importance of receiving instruction, listening. And, you know, we as Christians, we've been in church probably most of us a lot, and we've heard how important it is to listen to God, and it is. But my observation, in fact, I think there's a lot of Bible to back this up, when young people, or anyone, frankly, won't listen to the authorities in their life, they find it difficult to listen to God. Just the way it works. I've watched this. The happiest children that I know, the most well-adjusted children and young people that I know, are obedient to their parents. There's not a lot of stress in a home like that. But where there's rebellion against the parental authority, the stress level in that home rises. And when the stress level in a home rises because of a disobedience or a bucking against authority, it disrupts the whole rhythm in the home. It weakens relationships. And it dilutes faith. And it becomes harder and harder to hear the voice of God and to obey it. That's one reason why I say obedience is a powerful thing. By the way, would someone here get me a little, is there a cup somewhere? I need a little water. I'm drier than a bone, and I'm having a little trouble with my voice. If somebody could help me, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you very much. So there's a tremendous principle here. And God is using the Rechabites to teach the Israelites a great lesson. Wow. Verse 13 again. Then saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? And then he goes on to say, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. And this went on for several generations. If I understand it right, this he was testifying to a process that went on for 300 years. Wow. For unto this day they drink no wine, but they obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. He is saying to the people of Israel, to the children of Judah, he said, these families have obeyed the commandment of their father, but you're not listening to what I'm telling you. You're not paying attention. And so God is using them as an object lesson. Thank you so much. Yeah, communion cup, yeah. We're having communion, but I'm gonna take it for all of you. That's great. I've preached 5,558 times, and my voice is starting to wear out. Okay. So God is telling the children of Israel, there's a lesson here for you. Why won't you listen to me? Why won't you pay attention to me? Wow. He said, I've done everything I can to get your attention. I'm putting that in my own words, verse 14 here. He said, goes on in verse 15, I have sent also unto you my servants, the prophets, rising up early, sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and do not, or go not after other gods to serve them. And ye dwell in the land which I have given you and to your fathers, but you have not hearkened or inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. And then he repeats this little story, verse 16. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people have not hearkened unto me, but because the sons of Rechab paid attention to their father, he pronounces a blessing on the entire family. Wow. I said obedience is powerful, and I believe it is. God pronounces a blessing, a long-standing blessing, on the entire family. All of the descendants of Rechab, called the Rechabites, are given a promise from God that he's going to bless them, he said, forever. Wow. What a promise. And, he wants Israel to turn. He said these Rechabites have commanded that follow the commandments of their father. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because they wouldn't obey. All right? But they have not heard. I spoke, but they haven't heard. I called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Now that was a wonderful, wonderful promise. I read to you the statement in Proverbs that says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. But let's talk about these children of Rechab, called the Rechabites, a little bit. they were given some instructions that they couldn't turn to chapter and verse in the Bible. Follow me? All they had was this: Daddy said so. You see, and I know I'm skating on thin ice, but I've skated there before. Okay. We live in a day when people, good people, and good young people, many times will say, well, I don't know about that. You know, give me chapter and verse. And I believe what we expect of our families, frankly, should coincide with Scripture and should be in line with Scripture. But there's a principle here that I'm trying to share with you tonight that is huge. There is something to be said for the authorities that God places over us. And there's a promise given to us when we respond properly to the authorities that are placed over us. And by the way, that doesn't end when you're 18. I'm a little past 18, not much, but I'm a little past 18. And I still feel an obligation to respect my parents, and my parents have died. My father died in 1973. But I still feel like I have an obligation to honor what my father taught me. Hello? And furthermore, I believe God has blessed my life because of that commitment. And young people, I love you. I really do. I mean, working with young people has been a big part of my life, and it still is. My wife and I together as a team have been working with young people since God called us into the ministry, and even before He called us into the ministry. I mean, I'm not going to go through all the, tell you all about the things that my wife and I did before we even knew we were going into full-time ministry. But we still are very active. We're very active at the Hope Sound Bible College campus working with young people. I love young people, and I love you. And I covet you for God. I want you to be successful in life, and I want you to make it to heaven. I don't want any of you to be lost. And I do know this, that the devil would like nothing better than to sidetrack you and to divert your attention and to get you to do so on a basis that you think is okay. Okay? But what God wants to teach you here tonight, and what He would like you to learn, is that if you respond obediently to your parents, it will bring the blessing of the Lord into your life. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing in the world any better than having God's blessing on your life. That's the best. And there's no such thing as the best without that blessing. Amen. And God blesses those that honor Him. And one of the ways we honor Him is to honor our parents. And God said, "They that honor me, I will honor. And those that despise me, I will lightly esteem." So if you want to honor God, and there's several ways we can honor God, and I don't have time to get into all of those tonight, but one of the ways that is clearly stated in Scripture that we honor God is to honor mom and dad. And here's the beautiful part. I mean, this, I'm not trying to, you know, slap some chains on you and put you in bondage and make life miserable for you. The beautiful part of it is, when we do that, we're blessed. You know, I'm not just trying to force you into a mentality that you aren't going to agree with, but I'd like to show you what a tremendous benefit it is to become an obedient person. And you know, obedience, the word obedience isn't even a popular word anymore. Some people think it's offensive. I mean, I'm not going to obey anybody, you know. In fact, there's a book out on how wives are to respect their husbands. And the title, maybe you've read the book, Me Obey Him? But it's a biblical takeoff of the principles of what it means for a wife to honor her husband. It's a great principle, ladies. Well, you can say that, Brother Faye. You're a husband. You're not a wife. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. And in fact, this whole concept of honoring is a great concept to learn early in life. Honor your parents. Honor your boss. Honor your teachers. Honor the policeman. Try that. That'll help. Amen. You know, and I'm gonna lose some of you here, but we're even to honor our president. And I don't. Whether you like him or not, that's not the point. We're to honor the office. In fact, you know what your Bible tells you and me? We're to pray for him. Do you still love me? Wow, well, you've got good religion here. That's good. In fact, do you know what the Bible says? Now, I'm going way out here, but I'm not going any further than the Bible teaches. Do you know what your Bible tells you? Honor all men. Do you know we live in a day of disrespect? Nobody seems to want to respect anybody or any office or any position or any title or anybody. Everybody's got this little independent spirit running around doing their own thing. And I see it in school, I see it in government, I see it in business, and I see it, unfortunately, in church. And I see it in homes. I was in a home not too awful long ago, and the father asked the little girl to do something. Oh, the scene that followed was horrendous. And he didn't ask her to do something difficult. In fact, he didn't even ask her to do something she didn't want to do. The problem was it wasn't her idea. Boy, she threw a fit. She needed some attention on her southern hemisphere. Yeah. I am glad I didn't get away with that kind of stuff. My dad said to me one day, he said, "Rowan, I want to apologize for all the lickings I ever gave you." I said, "I won't forgive you because I needed every one of them." In fact, I said, "If you want to know the truth, probably should have got a few more. There's a few you missed." You know. My dad loved me, and I never doubted it. But he made sure I minded him. That was good training. And my dad taught me some wonderful lessons. Let me tell you one of the lessons my dad taught me. He was the greatest of all the great men I've ever known. And my dad said, "Son, find all the good you can and all the men you can, and when you have found it, dwell upon it until you know men for the good they are." Isn't that good? Isn't that great? That's good stuff. You can take that one to the bank. You know? Find all the good you can and all the men you can, and when you have found it, dwell upon it until you know men for the good they are. You know what we do sometimes, Pastor? We know people for their warts. You know? We know them for their... But you know what's wrong with her, you know. You know what's wrong with him. You know? Folks, we got to cut that stuff out. My Bible teaches me that I'm to honor people. You know what? One of our responsibilities as Christians is to bless everybody. We're to be a blessing. How can you bless people when you criticize them? How can you bless people when you find fault with them? How can you bless people when the only thing you know about them is something bad? I have a little rule. Would you like to hear my rule? Okay, here's my rule. I will be a friend to your friends and I'll be your friend. But don't ask me to be an enemy to your enemies. You know why? I don't want to collect enemies. And I'm a collector. I collect John Deere tractors. I have 44 John Deere tractors. Toy tractors, don't get nervous. I have one real one, a 1935 John Deere B, and I put it in the parade every year. I restored it. It's beautiful. Oh, you need to see it. Oh, it's really nice. You know, one of those putt-bang, 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 you know. I'm a collector. For years, for 20-some years, I collected Olympic pins. And I was telling the pastor today, I really worked at that. I worked hard at it. I wrote 10 letters every day, 6 days a week, until I had written letters to over 150 countries, to coaches, athletes, and Olympic officials, and I swapped and traded pins through the mail. Until I had a Sports Illustrated said I had the largest pin collection in the world. I had 70,000 Olympic pins. Now, so you're convinced, aren't you? I'm a collector. I'm a collector. But I don't collect enemies. Okay? No, it's not that I won't go. I'll go to your defense, James. I will. I'll stand up for you. I'll go to your defense. But I don't want to become an enemy to your enemies. See, if I become an enemy to everybody that has enemies, I'm going to start collecting enemies. And you know, I've kind of got this thing. I don't know about you. I really like collecting friends. And I have a few. And I love my friends. And young people, let me give you some just advice from old Dad Fay here, okay? Cherish your friends. I don't understand Christians that discard old friends like an old boot. I have a policy. If you're willing to be my friend, I'll be your friend forever. I'm not going to be your friend just this week, okay? All right? I'm amazed how people lose sight of this, and, you know, they have friends for a little while, and then they drop them. Then they get some other friends, and then they dump them. And they have some other friends, and then they drop them. Young people, don't do that. Keep your friends. Cherish your friends. And cultivate the friendship. You know how you do that? You invest in them. You see, this all ties together. Because when we're obedient, obedient people are loyal. They're loyal to the authorities in their life. Not only are successful people loyal to the authorities in their life, but successful people are loyal to their friends. Jesus wanted his friends to be loyal. He wanted his friends to be there when he needed them. And he said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" When he needed his friends the most. You know, I don't want Jesus to look down from heaven and be disappointed with my loyalty. Amen? I like what God said about Abraham. He said, "I know what he'll do." Can God say that about you? Well, the truth is, he does know what you'll do. But is it good? God said, I know what he'll do. He'll rule his household really well. What a statement that was in Scripture. I know what he'll do. Do you know why? I don't know, this is against the night show a little bit, but yes, I know God is an eternal being, and he sees the future and the present and the past all alike. But I believe the reason that scripture is stated like that is because there was a pattern. You know, when people do the same thing repeatedly, you can expect they'll do it again. And, you know, Abraham had a way of making good choices. And so, because Abraham made good choices, God knew he was going to make more of them. And young people, it's very, very simple. Really, it is. It's very simple how to be successful in life. Make good choices. Yeah. Choices have babies. You see, when you make a good choice, you tend to make another one. And when you make a bad choice, you tend to make another one. I've done quite a bit of jail ministry, and I've had these fellas in jail say, "Oh, Brother Fay, I never intended." You know, I know they didn't ever intend, but what happened, they made a series. It wasn't one thing, but it was a series of choices that got them where they are. They made a bad choice, and then they made another bad choice, and then they made another bad choice, and in that accumulation landed them in jail or in prison. I've counseled with couples that were breaking up. And I've had men say to me, "But Brother Fay, I only said, why would she leave me? I just said, you know." But what that poor man didn't understand was her emotional tank was already empty. You follow me? You can't write a check out of, you know, from your checking account unless there's money in there to cover it. Now you understand that one, don't you? See, if you write a check and there's no money to cover it, you go to Crowbar Hotel. That's jail. Just in case you were wondering. Okay? Have you made a deposit in your spouse's emotional bank account? Or have you been making withdrawals? Just thought I'd ask. Everything we say either has afterglow or aftertaste. Okay? One scripture said, "God has given me the tongue of the learned to know what to say in a time of need." What a wonderful thing that is. Tonight, it's been chopped up here a little bit, but we're talking about responses, okay? We respond to authority. We respond to our friends. We respond to God. We respond to each other. We respond to parents and to children. We respond. And ladies and gentlemen, our response is very important. How I respond to you is important. How I respond to God is important. How I respond to my wife is important. Amen? And children, how you respond to your parents is huge. And if you respond properly, it's a powerful thing. It'll make you strong. It'll make you wise. And you'll make good choices. And you'll make good decisions. How do people become successful in life? It's pretty simple. A series of good choices. How do people become failures in life? A series of bad choices. The choices that you make determine your future. And listen with your heart. The choices you make don't just determine your immediate future, but it will determine your eternal destiny. It'll set the stage for where you're going to spend eternity. That's why I preach this. It's huge. It is so important that we make it to heaven. And if we're going to make it to heaven, there's some principles we must make a part of our thinking. And if we're going to make it to heaven, we've got to be obedient to God. And if we're going to be obedient to God, probably the preparation for that is learning to be obedient to the authorities that God has already placed in our lives. It's huge, kids and adults. This is big stuff. You know why churches split and people get their nose bent out of shape and run off in a puff and a puff and upset? A lot of times it's because some people just cannot submit to authority. And if you can't do it as a young person, if you can't do it as a child or a young person, you probably won't be able to do it as an adult. And this has caused more heartache and more havoc and more mayhem in our world. Our world's in a mess tonight, and I don't want to get into that. I don't need to talk about negative things, but I tell you what, our culture is in a terrible mess. We're in a mess economically and politically and in about every other way. And one of the reasons is because of a forsaking of what I'm trying to teach tonight. It's a powerful, powerful principle. My time is up, and I apologize. I didn't get through the notes again tonight. That's terrible. Whew. Oh, my goodness. Huh. Oh, my. Huh. Can I have a couple more minutes? Thank you. You see this with Adam. What could be wrong with a little bit of fruit? I'll guarantee that fruit was perfect fruit. Now, some people say it was an apple. I don't know what it was. You probably thought it was a mango. You like mangoes. You know. I don't know what that fruit was. I'll guarantee there was nothing wrong with the fruit. Just like in our lesson tonight, there's nothing wrong with building a house. There's nothing wrong with planting a garden. There's nothing wrong with having a vineyard. What was wrong with eating the fruit? One thing. God said no. And when God says no, that settles it. You're not the reason around it. And that's what got Adam in trouble and all the rest of us. What could be wrong with fruit? The Bible says it looked good. The problem wasn't the fruit. The problem was God said no. Young people, oh, I really want you to get this. You don't have to analyze the command. If God said no, or mom said no, or dad said no, it's no. And it may seem stupid. I don't want to be irreverent here or disrespectful, but this seemed kind of extreme. You can't build a house, you can't plant a garden, you can't have a vineyard, you got to live in a tent, you got to be a nomad. You can have cattle, but you can't have a garden. Now, I like cattle, but I like a garden too, you know. And you know, I could argue that this didn't make any sense. And all those generations, they're going to say, this doesn't make any sense. Nobody else is doing this. Show me chapter and verse. But Papa said no. Young people, I don't know. You know, you got to make the application tonight. But let me tell you this. When God puts his finger on something in your life, obey him. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it wouldn't make any sense to you. But when I was a teenager, God put his finger on something in my life. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. I'm guessing now, I was probably 13 years old. And God spoke to me very clearly in a camp meeting service about something in my life. If I were to tell you what it is, you'd roll your eyes and say, boy, that's dumb. No, I tell you what. It sure it wasn't dumb to me. And in fact, I obeyed the Lord immediately. I took care of that. I eliminated that. And do you know what happened? Oh, I love telling this. I got so happy. I really did. The fact that I was willing to give up something that I really liked, and the joy God gave me because I was willing to give it up, was so good. I said, "Hey, Lord, is there anything else? Is there anything else I can do?" It was really that good. The joy was that real. Just knowing that I was willing to give up something that I really liked. By the way, it wasn't anything sinful, but God said no. And I've never touched it from that day to this. And I'm still pretty happy, dude. In fact, take a good look at me. I may be the happiest dude you ever saw. Young people, there's a powerful principle here. I know I didn't do very good with this. This is not a good sermon. But there's a principle here that's huge. God loves to bless obedient children. Yeah. Amen. And you know, when my kids were growing up, man, when they obeyed me, if they wanted the moon, I'd go get it for them, you know, because they were obedient. God's that way. Do I have time for one more story? Thanks. Adelia, it's her fault. She said I could. My son pulled up in front of a piece of property. His business was just exploding, and he was out of room. I mean, we were parking trucks and cars in places that we probably shouldn't have even parked in. In fact, the county came in and said, "Hey, you can't do this." And this guy said, "Well, I don't know where I'm going to put this stuff." And anyway, it was a piece of property that Scott really had his eye on for 8 years. And one day he pulled up in front of that property, and he said, "Dear God, I need this piece of property." And this is what God told him. He said, "You remember, Scott, when you gave that money to your daughter for youth camp? She came in and she asked you if she could have $10, and you gave her a $50 bill, and you both cried, and you know, it was just a beautiful father-daughter moment." God said, "I like to give things to my children too." And that night, he got a call from the lady that owned that property and said, "Scott, if you'll come over, I'll sell you that property. All you got to do is match an offer that's on my desk." And he said, "I'll be over in the morning." She said, "No, if you want it, you come tonight." Boy, and Scott and Kelly jumped in their car and drove over there and signed the contract for a beautiful piece of property. God said, "I love to give to my children." And he does. He does. Can I tell you one more? Do I have a taker? Yeah, I got one. Good. I'll tell you one more. A number of years ago, God told Scott to give his car away. He said, "I want you to give it to a poor man." And this man had an old, beat-up, fallen-apart, rusty pickup truck. It was awful. It was worse than awful. And so God said, "Scott, I want you to give your..." He had a Taurus station wagon. He said, "I want you to give that Taurus station wagon to that poor man." So Scott drove the car over, handed him the keys, signed the registration over to him, said, "Here, I want you to have this." We forgot all about it. He forgot about it. I forgot about it. Never thought. And we just did it. God said, "Do it." He did it. Forgot about it. Didn't do it for any personal gain or any reason. A number of years later, we were at the shop together one night, and the phone rang. We had been to that man's funeral that day, and the phone rang at the office, and it was that family. And one of the boys said, "Scott, there's something that my dad had that we know he'd like you to have, and we want you to come over and get it." Scott said, "Okay." He hung up the phone. He turned to me. He said, "Dad, that man doesn't have anything that I want." He literally was a junk dealer. That's what he was. He sold scrap metal, and his yard was, it was a sight. It was awful. But he said, "I don't want to offend them, so let's go." So we got in the truck, and we drove over to this guy's house. And we pull in the driveway, and lo and behold, they had cleaned the place up. They had sent all this stuff to the dump. The place was looking pretty nice. And we stood in the garage talking to the family. And pretty soon, one of the sons reached behind the refrigerator and pulled out a gun case. Now, this man would understand what that would do to a hunter. You know, your heart starts doing one of these. You know, Scott and I are pretty serious deer hunters. And so, you know, we didn't know what was in the case, but just a gun case alone made our heart do this, you know. And he said, I know Dad would want you to have this. And Scott opened the gun case, and there was a 300 Savage with a scope on it, an old model in mint condition. That gun was worth more than the car. We got back in the car and drove down the road, and tears are running down Scott's cheek. Scott said, you know, Dad, I never even thought about getting anything back. He said, Dad, do you realize that gun's worth more than the car that I gave him? And I said, yeah, I know. I said, Scott, there's power in giving. And there is. There's power in giving. And there's power in obedience. Amen. I'll tell you what, young people, if you want to be successful in life, find out where the power is. And I've told you two of them tonight. One is in obedience, and second one is in giving. And boy, are those things powerful. Wow. I'm not going to ask if you want a third one. I'm not going to do that to you. But I hope this little clumsy, not well-presented lesson, I hope it'll stick. Because you can't complete your kingdom assignment until you learn how to be obedient to the authorities that God places in your life. Tomorrow night, the Lord willing, I want to preach on our kingdom assignment. I can hardly wait. I feel like preaching it right now, in fact. But I'm not going to let you go. But, you know, if you can learn the power of obedience, God's blessing will be upon your life, and God will make you a blessing. Wow. That's awesome, I think. Praise God. I don't know. I know that wasn't a great sermon, but what a great thought, huh? Amen. Praise God. Thanks for smiling at me. Why does that help? Whew, thank you so much. I love you so much it hurts. God bless you. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you for this.